midst of so many choices. And so we're starting with the simple gospel and then sort of letting you in on a process that works for me. And if it works for a scatterbrained, easily distracted person, it'll work for most normal people. And so that's sort of an idea where we're going. Lord, I just thank you for being here today with us, God. I thank you, Lord, that your presence is here, that you are in us, Lord God, and you are crying out that you want to move through us, Lord God. Help us to get there, Lord. Help us to go from knowing you to seeing you in everything and to do what you're calling us to do, Lord God. Thank you. The title of the message today is, What Do You See? I thought it was kind of interesting looking back over quite a long time. It was a couple years ago that Sean heard loudly the Lord saying to him, Wake up. It was more for, not just for him, but for all of us, that it is time for us to wake up. And I noticed when Sam came back and was visiting, I pay attention to the first things out of people's mouth, and the first thing really stuck with me. And he says, Who are you looking at? And I really felt that that was a message for our church. Who are you looking at? Are you looking to God? Or are you looking to other people and what they are saying? And are they pulling you back and forth? Are you listening to every ministry under the sun? Or are you listening to the Lord? So who are you listening to? And a couple weeks ago, Andy spoke here, and he was declaring, Open your eyes. And we've heard that again this morning from the ladies who shared. Open your eyes. And today, I'm glad I wrote my message before Andy came. It's what do you see? And as we go through it, you realize it's actually more about who. Who do you see? Jesus is the center of all creation. Colossians 1:15-17 says, Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. He existed before anything and was created. That was created and is supreme over all creation. And through him, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on earth. He made the things that we can see and the things that we cannot see, such as thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world. Everything was created through him and for him. He existed before anything else, and he holds all creation together. That is our Jesus. The gospel of Jesus is a simple gospel. We come to Jesus from all sorts of different backgrounds, and we all have a different story. We have different family dynamics, challenges, various failures, different kinds of blessings, and we've experienced different kinds of losses. We are unique in our experience to a degree, but we all have the same basic needs. Food, shelter, water, love, meaning, and forgiveness. Yes, forgiveness. We've all fallen short of the glory of God, and that sin has separated us from an intimate relationship with him. But God himself sent the remedy for that. Isaiah 45:22 says, Let all the world look to me for salvation, for I am God and there is no other. Come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, for I will give you rest. Let all the world look to me, he said. We look to him, not to ourselves and trying to improve ourselves on our own. We don't look to others and their expectations of who we should be and what we should do. We are to look to him. Psalm 62 says, In God alone I find my rest. My salvation comes from him. He alone is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress. I will never be shaken. We are saved on the basis of what Christ has done, not what we have done. Although we've probably all done a lot of good things in our life, no one except Jesus can take away our sins. He's the only one who knows your story and loves you anyway. And he's the only one who understands your pain and wants to heal your heart. He is the one who came down and laid down his life for you to reconcile you to the Father. No matter how complicated you think your story is, he is the one who can change it. He will make you a new creation. The old will be gone and the new is come. So in the midst of all of these different experiences, all these different choices, and we think we're so complicated and nobody else can understand us, there is the one. We all need that one to come to know Jesus so we can be restored and we can be healed and we can be reconciled to the Father. So what do we see? We look to Jesus for salvation. But now what? Well, lots of things. Well, probably way too many things. There are so many choices out there of how we can grow and what we think we should do. And what started out with such simplicity, the simple gospel, was never meant to become complicated if we try to find our own way. We read the Bible, we read other books too, we can listen to sermons and podcasts and worship music, but what is most important? What do we need today? And most importantly, where do I find the time? And you add to that new experience in Christ and how you're trying to grow in him and where you're going to find time for that, you add to that all the pressures and distractions of your own life, the demands of your time and your responsibilities. And where does God fit into that? The busyness of your life is not going to go anywhere. We still have to deal with it. And most of those things are actually blessings that we're trying to manage. Family, friends, sports, employment, school, your home, and community involvement, things that God has given to you would be even more of a blessing if we would let him manage them. And there can be other things too that are not from him, like sickness and bad habits and addictions and depression, which seem to be multiplying in our society. There's more and more things people can get addicted to. And managing them on your own has not been working. But he, the one, wants to carry you through it and lead you into your freedom. But where do you find the time? Where does God fit? Well, the problem with the goal of trying to fit God in is flawed. It's a flawed goal. He doesn't actually fit in to our schedule. He's way too big for that. All things were created through him and for him. He himself is before all things, and all things are held together with him. Where are you going to put that? Where is he going to fit? Of course, we want to have a special time totally devoted to God, but he's not going to stay there. God, holding all creation together, can hold your life together. He can. God, who's the center of the universe, wants to be the center of your little life. I saw a calendar all neatly filled in where some professional had all sorts of appointments filled in, and it was full, and they were trying to figure out where to fit God, and I just saw him handwrite over the whole double page, "I am here." He's all over it. He's all over your calendar. He wants to give you his wisdom. He wants to give you his patience. He wants to give you his strength. In Psalms 139, we read, I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride in the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support him. How are we going to fit him into a time slot? How did we ever even get to that point where we would try to fit him into a time slot? He's all over your life. And as they say, all up in your business. He's already there. But what do you see? Do you see the things that need your attention? Or do you see him all over it? But what does that look like in a practical sense? To have a life where God is all over it. What does that look like? Well, actually, we can't even see it. You see, God is spirit. We don't actually see him. We can know him. We can sense him. But like the wind, we don't see, but we can see and feel the effects of him. In one setting, like worship, you can see what it looks like when we worship. You see people worship in a variety of different ways. But you can't actually see if they're just having a good time or if they're connecting with God. And in another setting, say you saw what my devotions looked like. You saw me sitting in a chair in front of the window, Bible on my lap. You wouldn't actually be able to see how deep the Word of God was going into my heart. Or if I was just completing so many chapters, because I promised myself I'd do that. And when I close my eyes, you don't know if I'm meditating on the scripture I just read, or I'm listening to God, or if I'm dozing off. They all happen. And in another setting, not a religious setting, I can be at a hockey game and you can see me there and you don't know if I'm thinking about the fries I want to buy or if I'm picturing this stadium filled with people who want to worship Jesus, that just want to give him glory for who he is, that come together in unity and blow the roof off of that arena with their shouts of praise for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who deserves all the glory and all of the applause. All of that stuff is invisible because it's in here. And that's where it happens. That's where it all happens. When he's the center of your life, you consider him in every moment, in every environment. All the various parts of your life are still there. They don't disappear just because we focus on him. But the simple gospel isn't complicated. It is meant to infuse our whole life. And what God began in the Spirit, in simplicity, in salvation, we are not to finish that in the flesh. Just as you look to God for salvation, you keep your eyes on him. He helps you to do what you do, and he helps you with how to do it. Point number two was see him all over your time. But how do we see him? You know, some people are more intuitive and, I don't know, touchy-feely. They just, I don't know, they can imagine things. I'm fairly imaginative. I don't have a problem connecting spiritually. But other people are a lot more in the practical, real world than me. And it's a struggle to, like, how do you do that? But Jesus said it's through the Holy Spirit that he has given to all of us. John 14, 17, Jesus told the disciples before his death and resurrection, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He's the Holy Spirit who leads you into all truth. And the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives in you now, with you now, and later will be in you. And in Acts 1:8, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere. So Jesus does one better than giving us the scriptures as a how-to manual that we can depend on. The Word of God is solid. But he gives us even more than that. He gives us the person of the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the scriptures correctly. We're not left to our own devices to know his power. Where did I put that? Yeah, we're not left to our own devices to figure out how to do life. He personally leads us and shows us. Holy Spirit indwells every believer. And there's also a further surrendering to his power called baptism in the Holy Spirit. But even with that, we are told to keep on being filled with the Holy Spirit. Keep pursuing all that God has for you. There's always more. You know, I don't have a particular pattern for my devotional life. I have a hard time sticking to the same thing every week. What I want to do one day is different than what I want to do the next day. But I do look to people who have had powerful ministries and what's behind that? What do I see in their heart from what they have to say? What guided them? And I like to read about the old revivalists, and I don't find in any of their stories someone who has not pursued God beyond what they saw around them. Like what we do as normal church was not satisfying them. They saw what was in the scripture. They knew what was possible. They somewhere along the line had an experience where they saw that God is more than they ever imagined. That they all had their eyes on God and they wanted to know him more and more and more. That they put in the time to get to know him. And that's what drives my pursuit in my life. You can't learn anything from me by looking at my process, but that's where my heart is. That's where my heart has taken me. Paul says, let us throw off every encumbrance and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run the race set before us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, or the author and perfecter of our faith. Fix our eyes on Jesus, not the distractions, not the sin, not the past. Fix our eyes on Jesus. And I heard a lady speak recently, and she was using the example of when you're trained to run hurdles, that if you're going to finish well, you don't look at the hurdles. You're trained to look at the finish line. And if you keep looking at the destination where God is calling you to and stop looking at the hurdles, you get there and you are successful. If you keep looking at all the hurdles, you get nowhere. The Israelites were being bitten by snakes, and then when they repented, God sent them a remedy. The remedy was to make a replica of a poisonous snake and attach it to a pole. And all who are bitten will live if they simply look at it. Now the word look and the word for fix your eyes in Paul's scripture, they're two different words, but they both mean something quite similar, that it's not a passing glance. It is to look intently at. And it also implies to look away from everything else. So when they looked at the symbol, the snake on the pole, which is representative of Jesus who would be on the cross in the future, when they looked to that, they were healed. And when Peter was walking on water, as soon as he took his eyes off of Jesus, he began to sink. And I think that's true of us. When we take our eyes off of him, we sink. Most people look to God in times of distress. Even if they don't know him, all of a sudden, they're crying out to a God they don't believe in. But in times of ease, what do we do? A lot of us, even though we have stuff to manage, it's quite manageable for the most part within our own strength. In times of ease, when the winds die down, are we still going to look to him? A few years back when I was on staff here, there was a season where I was totally in over my head, and I knew it. But it was a season where a couple months before that, there was a couple songs I kept, worship songs I kept hearing over and over again, the ocean song about being called out into the deep, and someone else, I think Jen Johnson, had a song about being in over your head. And it's like I was just receiving that in my spirit. And later on, I found myself in that position where I'm totally in over my head. And I said to Ange one day, you know, I know I'm in over my head, but the Lord's been holding me up. And this is actually a really good place to be. When he's holding me up. I said, what scares me more than anything is when I can touch bottom again. Am I still going to let him hold me up? And I knew that time would come when I could touch bottom again. And I wondered how much I would depend on him. So we need to keep looking to God for our spiritual growth. And the interesting thing happens when we are looking to him through the Holy Spirit. He helps us see through his eyes. We're not necessarily looking for all these jobs and things to do. We're not looking for more stuff to do, but he is helping us to see the world, to see ourselves, to see the lost through his eyes. Sometimes I look at myself and I see weakness. But other times, I see what God sees. We may be weak, but in him we are strong. He wants us to see his power within us. But to remain humble, we always have to remember where our strength comes from. The power that raised Christ from the dead lives in me and in you. That has to make a difference. We need to open our eyes. The hills are full of horses. When Elijah and his servant were facing a battle, the servant could only see the people in front of them that were going to attack them. They were all armed, and he thought for sure they were doomed. And Elisha said to the Lord, open his eyes. Open his eyes so he can see what you see and what you have shown me. And they looked up and the hills were full of horses. That there was more with them than there was against them. The Bible says, those who look to him will be radiant. Those who look to him will be radiant and they will never be put to shame. And although I've been focusing on the invisible process of looking to God, the outcome of that will be seen. The fruit of the Spirit is tangible. When you have peace, you know it. Kindness and love are going to look like something. And the patience that has replaced your anger is going to become a shock to those around you. And the gifts of the Spirit are also seen. We see healing with our eyes. Prophetic encouragement is something you can hear with your ears. It is going to produce tangible fruit. And we need to be aware of how much power we have as individuals to create culture. We all influence those around us. Sometimes our influence to those around us is something we're kind of unaware of, because God has done a work in us and has made us new creations, changed our hearts, and we're just being who we are, and we don't notice that people can see the difference, that there is something different. Sometimes we don't notice, we don't put any effort into it. And there's other times when we see what needs to be done, or we have to battle a certain, just comes down to doing the right thing. When we're faced with a decision, we have our mind engaged and we deliberately choose to do the right thing and to believe the right thing. So sometimes we're unaware, sometimes we are deliberately engaged. And there's other way we influence is spiritual. And we have to seek God to know Him and to know His Spirit and know when His Spirit is leading you to speak or to do something. We become aware of His Spirit upon us, and we are able to minister His Spirit to people. All those three ways are important, and they're an expression of the mind of Christ in us. And God will also show us, He will help us to see other people through His lens. The story about the woman at the well in the Bible, it is thought that she was probably judged by the other villagers because she came to get water by herself at a time of day when none of the other women were there. She had had five husbands. And I think sometimes in culture we think, okay, this lady had five husbands, perhaps that was because she was promiscuous. But I think it's more likely in that culture that she had five husbands because she'd been rejected that many times. And the one she was with now didn't even want to commit to her. So here she was, rejected by men in her life, rejected by the other villagers. But Jesus saw something else. Jesus knew her story, but He knew that one encounter could change her and could change a whole village. He saw that in her. And He probably sees that in many of the abused and rejected that we see in our society. Jesus sees past what the enemy has done to destroy and sees who they could be in Him. The Holy Spirit is in us for a reason, to reveal God in the earth. And there are a lot of people around us who don't know God at all. They have no idea how good He really is, and no idea that it's possible to even know Him. God wants us to see them through His eyes of love. If I could ask the worship team to come back. Thank you. I want to see my life the way He sees it. I want to live my life the way He imagined it. I want to see this world through His eyes of hope. I want to be that crazy lady who sees God in everything, everywhere. That crazy lady who wears a hope T-shirt to declare the goodness of God in a broken world. Now, the crazy lady part, I don't have a problem with. That comes quite easily to me. But there is a boldness that is growing because of a conviction that God changes everything. That is where our confidence comes, is from a growing conviction that God can do anything in individuals' lives and in our society. He died for the world, not just for you and I. That the whole world would know him. And this life we live is meant to be supernatural. That is, it rises above what is natural. We might see all sorts of hindrances and hurdles in the natural, but it rises above that. And it all comes from looking to Jesus. Could you stand with me this morning?